The reading is from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, and is on page 878 of your Pew Bible. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can bear nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
It was just a couple chapters ago, before what we just heard from John's gospel, that Jesus washed his disciples' feet and then said, one of you that he just washed their feet will betray me. Of course, it was Judas. Very awkward scene as he storms out into the darkness. What are you thinking if you're a fellow disciple and this just happened? Like, this isn't just a classmate getting into trouble. Have you ever been there? Like, you're in class and the teacher just, somebody has made a very bad choice in class and you just kind of sit by, try not to have it land on you? Yeah? Well, that's not quite what this is. It's worse than that. I, as one of the followers of Jesus, seeing what happened with Judas, I'd be like, what? It's one of us that betrays you? My head would be swimming. And then just after Judas up and leaves, Jesus and Peter get into it. Jesus says, Peter, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. But Peter, he doesn't like that. He's like, nuh-uh, I'll lay down my life for you. And Jesus says, will you? Tell you what, before the cock crows, you'll have denied me three times. So again, if I'm Andrew or Thomas or James or John, if I'm any of the rest of these followers of Jesus, I'm shaken. Judas is a betrayer? Peter will deny even knowing Jesus? What? Where does that leave me? What am I going to do? How am I going to mess things up? Has all of this been just leading to a colossal failure at the end of our time together? And if these two can't remain faithful or courageous, what am I going to do? How am I going to fail Jesus? So this is the last night. This reading we just heard is from the last night that Jesus spends with his disciples before he's arrested. There's a trial, his crucifixion, his resurrection. So he's got a lot to say. It's kind of like a last will and testament here. He makes promises like, I'm going to give you another advocate. He means the Holy Spirit. He has a few more teachings. And then he's got this last I am statement. Every time he gives one of these I am statements, he's revealing who he is, what he means in relationship to them, to God, and to the whole world. He has already said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world, the gate, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life. A chapter before our text for today, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They were all leading, all these I am statements were leading to this last one. That not only has Jesus say, I am the true vine, but for the first time he also says, and you are the branches. After Judas left, after Peter was called out, as they had to be wondering, so who are we? Who could we be? Notice Jesus doesn't dwell on their past, who they were, or who they could be, or what they will be. He says, you are the branches. The whole text, this week and next, is from this section of John 15, which is all about fruit, bearing fruit, which made me think about the place of fruit in the world as it was 2,000 years ago. Being a foodie 2,000 years ago would not have been great. For much of the year, vegetables might only be pickled. Meat would oftentimes be gray and salted. You probably didn't eat meat much at all, actually. It would have been the same old, same old, same old for months at a time. Until fruit. The only way in much of the world to make something sweet was to include honey. And there was only so many bees, you know? Craving something sweet? Have you ever craved something sweet? Well, keep craving till that time of year when sweet just grows on the trees. One of my favorite Prairie Home Companions is called Tomato Butt. I highly recommend it if you can find it. It's a story told in the dog days of August. Garrison Keillor says, this is the time of year when the gardens start coming on hard and fast in Lake Wobegon, and when gardeners start to feel that vegetables are taking over their lives, that they started something out back of the house that they're not in control of anymore. They planted a glacier out back there. It's moving in on them. There's tomatoes moving in. Get up one morning, whole kitchen full of tomatoes lying around on counters. Because back in April, you'd have killed for a tomato. You would, a real tomato. Not these little tomatoes that they strip mine down in Texas. But real tomatoes that taste like tomatoes. Not styrofoam with tomato flavoring, but real tomatoes. Back in April, you imagine how good they'd taste. So you put in 40 tomato plants. My mother would put in 40 tomato plant. And we ate tomatoes morning, noon, and night, and years thereafter. Stewed tomatoes, he said, was my mother's soul food. Well, here we sit in April in the upper Midwest in our own little Lake Wobegon. We have been eating little tomatoes strip mined in Texas for too many months now, right? And if you don't love tomatoes, like I actually don't love tomatoes, think about corn. That first best ear of corn that you have, and it surprises you how good it's almost like you forgot how great that corn can be. Or if you don't love corn, do it with an apple. Like the perfect, crisp, sweet bite of your favorite variety of apple, and you bite in, you're like, oh, that. Well, as much as we might look forward to that tomato or that cob of corn or that apple, in the Holy Land 2,000 years ago, they didn't have ice cream, chocolate, candy bars, hard candy, jelly beans, peeps, gum, cake, pie, caramel, none of that to tide them over between the times when fruit was plentiful. Honey was around, sure, but seasonal fruit. Can you imagine how impatient you would be for that fig tree to do its thing? Or for berries to finally be ready? Or for grapes to ripen on the vine? I imagine it would have made life just lighter, just easier to be, right? That grapes were in season? A little foretaste of the kingdom to come, if you will. So in his last I am statement, as Jesus is finishing up his last will and testament to his followers, does he use this time to remind them of who should be excluded from God's love? Or how their decisions, each and everything that they made a choice about, could lead them straight to hell? Does Jesus lay out or repeat a set of rules for them to live by? No, he calls them branches. That's what he does with this last moment. He calls them branches that will bear fruit. That's the image he wants to leave them with. That is who you are, he says. You are branches that will bear fruit. Too many people in 2024, and much of this is the church's own fault, think of God as this taskmaster, this rule maker, who wants little more from us than simply our obedience. And to be clear, God does want our obedience, but not for God's own sake. Not a begrudging, fear-filled kind of obedience that comes from loving someone in a scared way that would lead us simply to grovel at the feet of God's throne. God wants the kind of obedience that comes from loving someone which looks more like devotion than simple compliance. That feels more like joy than some bummer of a burden, and that results in fruit for the whole world instead of just tears of guilt put in the direction of some scary God. With his last I am statement, Jesus says, I am the true vine and you're the branches, which says a lot about the kind of relationship Jesus thinks he has with his followers, how mutual Jesus sees this relationship. Because think about it, a vine with no branches doesn't do anything. A branch without a vine is a stick. One needs the other in order to bear fruit, which seems to be the point, that the world needs fruit, and this is how God delivers it. God wants to provide real tomatoes, candy corn, Honeycrisp apples, mercy, kindness, generosity, fruit to an impatient, otherwise fruitless world. And the way God is going to accomplish fruit in abundance is through this vine who is Jesus and these branches who are his followers. Both are necessary for God's good news. In order to be the John 3:16 Jesus he claims to be, that the whole world would be blessed, Jesus needs followers, and the followers are not able to bless the world without Jesus. At our most faithful, then, the church is to the world what that August tomato was to Garrison Keillor, what that 4th of July corn is to many of us, what that Apple Fest Honeycrisp is to so many. The church, according to Jesus, his followers are not sent from his leadership to go be grim justice seekers, evoke fear, judge everyone you meet, strive for national or personal power. That's all stuff that serves the self. Like evoking fear in others, that's how I can feel superior. Judging others, that's how I can feel self-righteous. Striving for some kind of Christian nationalism or using faith to wield power in any personal relationship, these are not the things God sent his followers to go do. He didn't say we're hammers in search of nails or weed whackers in search of weeds. Jesus says we're branches connected to the vine that is him to bear fruit, feed the world, spread joy, pull communities together. What fruit do you bear? I'm not asking whether or not you bear fruit, because you do. How would you describe the sweet sustenance provided from your branch? Within your spheres of friends, coworkers, family, you bear fruit. Because Jesus is still risen. He lives. As much as it was true in the Gospel of John, it is just as true on April 28th, 2024, Jesus is the true vine, and we through baptism have been grafted in as branches. Some of you care for a parent or someone in this life with special needs. The patience you choose to offer, that is mercy, sweet sustenance. Some of you keep track of friends' and family's birthdays, and then go to the effort of marking that celebration with them. That is kindness. Some of you notice when justice is not happening for a person or people who, for whatever reason, are not being heard. And so you speak up with courage to risk one's own standing in a community. That's generosity. Some of you find yourself in moments when you could continue to spread a rumor or a salacious story so that you could be in with the crowd who are piling on somebody. But instead, you exhibit self-control and you let the story find a dead end in you. Maybe the fruit you bear is even sweeter as you seek out the one who is getting piled on to make sure they know they are not alone, that you are with them. In this room, full of Easter people, there are life-changing stories of love, peace, joy, gentleness, so much more. Put all our stories together, and we, church, are the branches that our vine, Jesus, uses to bless the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.